That was music from the short film Dears, written by John Summerson. Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures, the comics and animation show. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we are live in the studio today with a jam-packed show all about the Northwest Animation Festival, which is happening this week in Portland at the Hollywood Theater, and next week in Eugene at the Bijou. The Northwest Animation Festival is the largest festival of its type in the country, and we're joined once again by the originator and director, Sven Bonnichsen. Welcome back to Words and Pictures.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Always the best-dressed person in the animation industry.
You're referring to the purple suit and hot pink tie?
It was awesome last night. I see that you brought some friends with you today.
Yeah, we've got John Summerson here, who I've watched grow from a PNCA student, and he brought his road trip film 2 years ago, and now he's got another one in the festival called Dears, which is really amazing because the festival, we have 1,300 submissions. To have local talent of this quality coming up and so early in your career is just amazing. And then we have a whole team here from Northwest Shadow, which I am super excited to have them in town. This is in an animation town, the latest studio to join the ranks, a new branch from up in California, most famous probably for Robot Chicken and Moral Oral, and now BoJack Horseman on Netflix. And they've got a new show coming up, which I'll let them talk about. But I am just so thrilled that we were able last night to do the first public appearance of these folks and give them a real welcome to the tribe here in town.
Well, yes, Meredith Rogers is here, and so is Sean Donnelly and Alessandro Minoli. Welcome to all of you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Well, we'll just to let people know more about the festival, the Northwest Animation Festival, every day has a different theme, from queer animation to abstract experimental to local industry night, which was last night. One of the screenings you have scheduled is an all-ages family-friendly block of shorts, but you make it very clear that the characters and the themes in the all-ages shorts are not just princesses and unicorns. There's some deep mythical stuff in there that can get a bit dark at times, maybe even a bit subversive.
Yeah, I feel really strongly that my number one priority in these family-friendly blocks is to respect the young people. That, you know, if you want to just watch something that's silly and crude, and superficial, you know, nothing wrong with silly, turn on your TV. But I want to go for stuff that is in the traditions of Studio Ghibli, Maurice Sendak,
yes.
Harry Potter. You know, Harry Potter, family fair, dark as heck. But really, you know, what is the underlying theme? It's dealing with prejudice, and kids need to know about it, and they want to be heroes in their own lives. And so I want to help young people have a experience that they're going to remember for years to come with their parents. So it's a good show. It's light, it's friendly, but it also, it's respectful of everyone's intelligence.
Well, let's find out about one of the adult blocks, which is Saturday evening, and that features John Summerson. One of the shorts in there is his film Dears. And John, this film started out as an audio project.
That's right, yeah. The original concept was just based around a story we've been telling, some friends and I, you know, around a campfire for years, and the story was kind of goofy. And so I set out with my audio equipment and spent the next 6 months interviewing them and drinking a few beers and seeing where we'd get. And I cut all of that into about 10 minutes of audio and then made a storyboard to it.
So this started out as part of the podcast Here Be Monsters, which is based in Seattle.
I actually partnered with Here Be Monsters about halfway through the production process.
Okay.
It turns out that the dude who produces that show, Jeff Entman, we went to high school together. And so I was like, oh, no kidding. So I looked him up and I heard he had this cool thing going on called Here Be Monsters, and it's a great podcast.
A lot of slice of life stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They pull the narrator right out, and it's just wonderful people telling stories, really strange and wonderful stories.
So you have these two characters, and they're at a bit of loggerheads. They have different philosophies about how well animals should be treated, and there's a whole backstory of veterinary care. But there, you know, you've also multi-tracked it with a whole bunch of wonderful music that you wrote and some sound effects. So, you know, it stands alone as an audio piece, but then you add the animation, and it has a real sort of just a very meditative feel to the whole thing.
That's what I wanted. I mean, it works as an audio piece, which is what I love. But when given the option to add animation, like visuals, to something that's distinctly nonfiction, it adds this sort of ephemeral, like emotional overtone that you don't typically get in documentary with film, especially.
Well, let's hear a brief clip from Dears, and you can tell me more about that. I believe this is the primary narrator here.
A person that comes from the city, if they could see this whole entire thing unfolding, probably their impression would be just how lonesome the place really was. That makes you really feel more a part of what's going on around you. When the thing that you see more than anybody else, the being that you see more than anybody else, is deer. Yeah, I guess you just kind of feel a little bit more in touch with all those guys and all the men and women deer out there.
So tell us a little bit about the backstory here.
That's Andy Wilson. He lives in Pullman. He's talking about Lake Chacolet in North Idaho. And it's a wonderfully peaceful place. He's a carpenter. He's a really sweet guy. And he loves animals, and he really respects life. But he doesn't particularly respect one life over another, significantly humans over animals, really. He makes the point that he would feel just as bad to see a deer hit by a truck as a person, which is not a typically held belief.
So he ends up having this conversation with another of your friends.
Ryan Graves, nurse extraordinaire, deer hunter for fun and food. and he feels a little different. He feels that, especially in the medical field, that he values people much higher than animal life, and animals can be food.
I also just a little bit of that conversation.
His hierarchy of life is a little different than my hierarchy of life. And not that one is right or one is wrong.
Most people wouldn't stop to, like, see if that guy on the side of the road needs some help, but I would. Pretty much always, like, I enjoy, like, hopping out in the middle of traffic and helping some person push their car off to the side of the road. So that mentality goes towards any creature. I don't really value human lives to some great elevated level. In fact, I don't really value human lives any more than I value animal lives.
And the story turns into more of an adventure as the film goes on.
Right, and this is where the entire thing started. So Andy's walking his dogs near Lake Chacolet, and he has Quincy with him, and Quincy is just a deer-chasing dog. This dog loves chasing deer and has done it many times, but this time he chased the deer straight into the lake. And the deer just jumps in the water and starts cruising through the side, and it's January, and it's clearly not going to make it. It's a huge lake. So he does the only logical thing, which is to go steal a paddle boat and go after it and catch up to it and, you know, give it CPR and mouth the snout, and none of it really works, and the deer dies on him. And he's just mortified. He doesn't know what to do. So he calls Ryan. He figured Ryan could help him out. And so Ryan comes up there, and they've got to figure out what to do with this deer practically, but then kind of philosophically as well.
Yeah, and you use black and white as tones of gray, and it's very, I would say, painterly, but it's more drawerly, if you want to put it that way. A lot of sort of charcoal style, dark moments, light moments. It got a very wintry feel to it.
Yeah, the story did take place in the winter, but really I like the dialectic between black and white. And, plus I'm getting the opportunity to make art school movies about death, so might as well make them in black and white. The entire film is drawn in pen. So there's no pencils. I don't do the like an animation in pencil beforehand. I just draw it directly with ballpoint pen and several layers of images, so mistakes included, and that's the way I shot it.
Yeah, that's a tricky technique right there.
I kind of like it. I mean, it's the story is kind of screwy and improbable and riddled with mistakes and things that people wish they could have changed, and I figured the animation should reflect that.
Okay, so this is something, of course, you can find a ballpoint pen anywhere. You can't necessarily find your favorite art pen or brush pen anywhere. So,
uh-huh. Well,
so that helps.
Precise V5.
Right. So this is playing on Saturday evening as part of this. Sven, what's the block that Dears will be featured in?
That's in International Spectacular Number 2, which begins at 7 p.m., and it's got 3 hours of content, just like Lord of the Rings, but more mercifully than Lord of the Rings, we've got two nice intermissions in there, so after each hour, folks can stand up, stretch, get popcorn, and John's film, I believe, is in the second block of that.
Yeah, this is going to be quite an epic adventure. The whole weekend is going to be sort of almost dawn to dusk, almost dawn to midnight features and screenings, including a 10th anniversary of Coraline. Is that correct?
Almost, yeah. Leica, as a company, has just had its 10-year anniversary of existence. Coraline's slightly younger, but in looking for how do we celebrate, you know, the hometown heroes, Coraline was the obvious choice. And so Mark Shapiro from Leica is going to come with, you know, puppets in hand and do a presentation. And, you know, folks who at this point saw it when they were kind of young, there's already some nostalgia for going back and seeing it again on the big screen and getting to meet the tiny puppet celebrities there.
Right. Some of them might be able to afford to be legal for buying beers at the counter now. So you're listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, SW Concert. And we've been talking with John Summerson, director of the animated short Dears. His film is playing as part of the Northwest Animation Festival, which runs all this week at the Portland and at the Hollywood Theater in Portland, next week in Eugene at the Bijou. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about the new Trip Tank series, Jeff and Some Aliens, with Sean Donnelly and Alessandro Minoli. We're back. The show is Words and Pictures. I'm SW Concer, and I am here. I'm back with Meredith Rogers, producer at Northwest Shadow, and the team of Sean Donnelly and Alessandro Minoli, who have created the series Jeff and Some Aliens, originally for Trip Tank, and now it's going to be a 10-episode series on Comedy Central. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Well, welcome, Sean and Ollie. Yes.
Thanks, yeah. It's great to be here.
Okay, so you've moved production of the series from L.A. to Portland and brought along a number of your trusted collaborators.
That's right.
Climate refugees?
I guess, we heard good things about this place. I mean, it's more Meredith, I guess, would know more about the real sort of reasons, but we're very happy to be here.
It sounds like you almost outgrew where you were, Meredith. You were down in, and you started out with your partner, Alex, doing this series called Trip Tank, which was really an amazing patchwork of animated shorts from, you know, all sectors of the animation world.
Correct. Yeah, there was a lot of 2D animation, different drawing styles, different storytelling, a little bit of CG as well. Definitely a mixed bag of different mediums. And I think that's kind of what Trip Tank was meant to be, was to give Comedy Central a platform of a half-hour show to bring the audience different shows and see what the kids out there like. And as we get viewership and even on our online, we get to see those numbers and say, hey, you know, these guys really like Jeff and Some Aliens. So that's where Jeff and Some Aliens became its own 10-episode series for Comedy Central.
So you were sort of a farm team.
Yeah, definitely. And wrangling lots and lots of sheep.
And now you're moving up to at least the minor leagues, if not the big leagues.
Yeah, definitely. It's been quite an experience for me, for sure.
Well, let's talk about Jeff and some aliens. You know, sometimes my friends and I will see a new animated series on TV, and one of my friends will ask, why is this even animated? It seems like if you're going to go to the trouble of animating a show, it should have some element that's transformational or surreal in some way. Viewers don't have to worry about that with Jeff and some aliens.
Yeah.
It seems like the whole alien invasion concept is just kind of a hook to hang some of your psychedelic visions on. Like, okay, how can we randomly slip a 1930s Betty Boop scene into this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the show would really work if it was not animated. I'd be curious to see it, actually, what it would look like. But it's definitely a fun way to, you know, have any idea that, you know, explore any, like, insane notion that we want, you know what I mean? And then use the aliens as our method to do that.
So how did you – well, you two have known each other since grade school.
Yeah.
You know, a recurrent grade school memory for me was having the teacher crumple up the cartoons I had been secretly drawing during class.
So, absolutely.
So did you ever want to go back to your old school and say, hey, kids, look what we're doing for a living. Be sure to draw cartoons all the time if you want to be like us.
I'd say that's especially true in high school.
Okay.
I used to draw. I remember one time I was drawing in Spanish class, and this guy, my teacher, like, noticed but didn't say anything, and then he turned around and threw a piece of chalk at my head so hard that I, like, turned out of the way, and it shattered into dust.
Wow.
Like, on my head. And he used to be, like, a pitcher in his college days, so almost got killed for drawing in class.
So were the two of you just sort of riffing off each other, coming up with ideas all the time, and this eventually led to something worthwhile?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we always, like, as kids would, like, you know, like, we did, like, we made, like, a silly, like, comic book together. I think it was called Biff the Boxer and Asparagus Man. And you know, since then it's just been, like, fun to a lot of the stuff that, like, the show is about is kind of like the same kinds of stuff that we've, for me anyway, like, you know, the kinds of things I was thinking about in high school, in grade school, in stuff like that. Like, it's a kind of a rebellion and a fun sort of expression of all the things that in some form have been, like, inside for a long time, you know?
Now, one of you sort of takes the writing helms, or do you both share the writing and the art? What's the division of labor here?
No, it's like the writing and storytelling is very much just the two of us, you know, like, back and forth. You know, it's a very shared. Sean does the designs of all the characters and the world and stuff.
So you believe in the John Chris Felucci idea that if you can't draw, you can't write when it comes to animated cartoons?
Well, I would hope that not to be true, because that means then I can't. For me, storytelling, like, you know, it's wonderful to see it, you know, the animation is, like, a huge part of it, but I think that it's also, you know, the actual, just the generation of where are these stories going to go is, for me, the most exciting part. And then, you know, there's obviously a million other aspects to it.
Now, what can people expect when they tune into? When does this come on to Comedy Central, by the way? When does this start on Comedy Central?
There's actually not an air date yet.
Okay.
It's set to debut probably the first of the year, but that's not confirmed quite yet.
Now, people can watch some of the original Trip Tank shorts online.
I think that there are some places to definitely watch Trip Tank. Actually, the Back 10 Trip Tank, which also features two more Jeff and some aliens, is going to probably start airing in July. Again, that's also not confirmed, but hopefully we'll get an air date eventually here.
And is Trip Tank still going strong with more submissions and sort of farm team animators on board?
Well, you know, it's kind of at a small lull. I mean, we're still getting some artists sending their reels in, their stories in, and it's kind of like we're just collecting all that information in the hopes that there'll be a season 3. But no, not at this time. I mean,
okay.
It's pretty quiet.
Well, let's talk about some Jeff and some Aliens episodes. What are some of your favorite ideas that you've come up with? Obviously, you've paid tribute to animation of the past. You love to bring in references from other animated, some other geniuses of animation history.
What's your favorite?
Well, I feel like the one we're working on now is always the least favorite in a way.
We're the most exciting.
The most exciting? Yeah, I think it's what we're trying to make sure that all 10 are as different as possible, which is proven to be pretty hard, but I think it's worth the fight, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, you know, every episode, like, you know, we have an episode that's about, like, middle school girls, and Jeff has to try to, like, help his niece, and it's all inside the school and dealing with, like, young girl problems. And then we have an episode where, you know, it's about Jeff has a friend who's moving on as like a businessman and getting married, and he feels like they're not friends anymore. And so then he finds a way to, like, you know, make his brain younger so he's like a kid again, and then they can do all these like immature things, but ruins his whole life in the process. So they're all sort of like trying to like do things with real life ideas and then blowing them out in like an insane way.
Usually we'll find like some problem that you would have in life and then find like the alien way to like access it. So like, for example, a simple problem, like Jeff wants to take this girl that he's interested out on a date, but he doesn't have any money. You know what I mean? That's a place that I think we've all can, you know, want to do something fun, but don't have the funds to do it. The aliens give him a machine that will allow him to trade his life energy for the equivalent amount of like value that it would be. So like, you know, a burger would cost like a day worth of life energy, but like a car would be like 20 years worth, right? Jeff, who has poor self-control, has a hard time with the machine and gets the girl, but like is like 50 years old, you know, like very quickly, and then, you know, deals with those issues. So, you know, just having like fun ways of like, you know, having simple issues and simple problems, and then like what would be the craziest way to deal with that?
So familiar, relatable territory, and all of a sudden you're in complete Dadaistic worldview here.
Yeah, I guess like it's like Jeff is the, you know, it's Jeff and some aliens, and Jeff is like the grounded, you know, human just trying to deal with like mundane problems, and the aliens who have no understanding of how we do things, you know, throw that out of it.
But yeah, I think it's important, and we strive to make as many of the episodes as grounded as possible for as long as possible, because I feel like when I personally watch a show that's just crazy the whole time, it's hard to like be invested or care what's going to happen if it's just like this crazy thing and then this crazy thing, you know? So this show is, even though they go to crazy places and we're telling you all those things, when you watch it, it's like Jeff has a job at the mall. He's like likes a girl that, you know, he's got landlord problems. It's very like slice of life kind of like small problems for the most part. And then mix that with some insanity, get yourself Jeff and some aliens.
Yeah.
Right. If in The Shining, Jack Torrance didn't start out as a family man, you wouldn't be as invested when he went completely off the rails.
Exactly.
Right.
Can't start with red rum.
Yeah.
So Meredith, what else is on the horizon with Northwest Shadow and Shadow Machine in general?
Well, down in the LA office, we're just finishing up BoJack season 3. It's at the tail end. We've got a couple of projects that are kind of swimming around. Nothing confirmed yet, but we're hoping to keep bringing more shows up here as the year goes on, and definitely hiring more Portland talent. It's been great because I've got an actual Shadow Machine account. It's portland@shadowmachine.com, where people can send us their resumes and reels and cover letters, and we're trying to just catalog all that and build a database so that when we're ready to get another show up and running, we can, you know, start hiring like hotcakes in Portland. So it's looking like probably towards the end of the like the summer when we'll probably start seeing more shows coming in. But again, nothing is really confirmed at this point. So,
well, the joke 10 years ago was that Portland was the black hole for comics artists. Now it's sort of sucking in all the animators as well, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, I'm surprised at how many people, like, once they hear that there's an animation studio here and they have an opportunity to just do character design, but they might have just been an illustrator or a comic book artist, that they get in there and they're just willing to adapt pretty quickly. And some of the even tests that we had come in were really impressive from those different, you know, groups of people. So it's been exciting.
Well, you were at the Northwest Animation Festival last night, part of the Animation Industry Night. And how can people see more of what you've got to offer? Is there are there some snippets online? Is there a site for Shadow Machine, a site for Northwest Shadow, where you can see some more, where listeners can find out more about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. We have shadowmachine.com that showcases pretty much all of our different shows that we have, as well as Jeff and some Aliens. Jeffandsomealiens.com we have as well.
Definitely.
And definitely we'll make a kind of a push here for the digital world just to put more shorts on, get involved in Snapchat, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff. So as those handles start coming available, I can get those on those various sites. Yeah. So
we do have those for Jeff and Smiley. It's just not a lot of action there right now, but hey, yeah. get there before it blows up.
Yeah, we'll make the push soon.
Jeff and Smiley's on Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, if you just Google Jeff and Smiley's, the shorts, some are on YouTube, and then the rest are on ComedyCentral.com.
And a bunch of stuff about Jeff Goldblum and Independence Day.
Yeah, so get ready.
Are you going to have some celebrity voices, I wonder?
Well, we've got, you know, Brett Gelman is our Jeff, and he's amazing. He's a great comedic actor. And we've rustled up some
quite
some
a
finds.
Few, actually.
Yeah, we have a pretty random, well-rounded crew. We got Kesha.
Oh,
yeah.
We got Christian Slater. Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
Tim Heidecker.
Richard Kind. You know, he's awesome. He's plays Jeff's dad. He's.
Is it going to be like South Park where you have George Clooney playing Turkey Number Two or something like that?
Sometimes. You never know.
Yeah, we do have Kesha playing just an alien in a hot tub.
Yeah.
Might be coming back.
But when we do write a turkey roll, we'll, we'll look into George.
Thanksgiving special. Well, we've been talking about the Northwest Animation Festival today. Festival director Sven Bonnichsen is here. Sven, thanks as always for dropping by.
I'm delighted to be here, delighted to tell folks about the festival.
Yeah, thanks for bringing all the filmmakers today. How can people find out more?
NWAnimationFest.com, NorthwestAnimationFest.com will get you to the whole selection. And this year we're doing something new. We have three-day weekend passes, so you can see, you know, just one film, or you can see the entire extravaganza, and it's ridiculously cheap. You'd have to go about 700 or 800 miles to find anything similar.
And if you don't want to leave the Hollywood Theater at all, there's pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah, pizza and beer. Everyone wants free booze. Haven't quite got there yet, but working on it.
And John Summerson is the director of Dears, which has played. Oh, it's playing Saturday evening and maybe making the festival circuit, we hope.
Yeah, it just played in Manchester this last week, and so we've got high hopes to see where it goes next.
All right, and Meredith Rogers is the producer at Northwest Shadow, and she's been joined by Sean Donnelly and Alessandro Minoli, the creators of the new animated series Jeff and Some Aliens. And John, you also have a Vimeo page up on the web.
That's right, yeah, vimeo.com/John Summerson. There's also a website, johnsummerson.com, very original.
Well, it's been great to have you all on Words and Pictures today. Continued good luck to you all.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. You can find an archived version of this show later today at KBOO.FM/Words and Pictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Picture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.